Coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
I think a refresher is really cool, but a refresher on the big screen, that's a fun way to do it. I'm about it. Especially like Gladiator.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, Best Picture.
In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
Yeah. That's another automatic. Bill Jason Paxton. Derulo and year 2000 and Coda, are his triggers. If we can figure out two more phrases, he will Winter Soldier on us. Welcome back to The Break Room. What is going on with these big theatrical re-releases? And should Marvel be doing the same thing? It's the Monday Headline Show. Hit that graphic.
H-E-A-T-L-A-N-E-S. I did not nail that.
I'm Zach Huddleston, and I am thrilled to be joined today by Maude Garrett.
Wait, is that your thrilled face?
Thrilled. And Erica Wusu's here!
Hey, good to see y'all.
We have a lot to talk about. A lot of different stuff. A bunch of trailers coming out. Some news about Joker 2 that you could sing about. And how are we feeling about this Seth Rogen Venom project? Don't really say yet. Don't say yet.
I was ready.
Yeah.
Take that little bit. Put it.
You got a rebel
save
over
it
here.
For before we get into that news, yeah, a lot of trailers have come out in the last week. We already have videos up on the New Rockstars channel. Actually, one just uploaded a few hours ago for Alien Romulus.
Ooh.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, we put out last week. A fun gimmick, House of the Dragon released two trailers. One for each of the two houses.
You have to pick a side.
Yep.
What's your side, Mon?
Well, I've read the books.
Sure.
There was a big discussion. There was a meeting. The council was all present where Viserys declared his daughter as official heir. That never changed. There was a lie that was spun, thus created a war. So team Targaryen.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. I guess that's team black, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Like it's hard to be team green right now. Maybe there'll be some new stuff that could develop. And that's wild considering the Targaryens are not necessarily the most lovable folks.
No, at all. But I do think green is a strong representation of the patriarchy.
Mm.
Fun.
Even though it's ironically led by a woman for the most part.
Yeah, but
right?
To put her son in the seat.
Mm.
What a little asshole he is.
So it has to stay as a patriarchal society.
But we were talking before the show. I love gimmick trailer releases like that. Like, especially for a second trailer, because the first trailer for House of the Dragon came out last year. But like, as a second trailer, as we're kind of getting closer, like, a different format like that, like the dual trailers, or like a trailer from like the point of view of a different character, or something like that, is fun to kind of mix it up and keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun marketing tool, you know, to get people on sides. You know, my side's gonna win. No, my side.
Yeah.
A new one that's just happened recently for a horror movie. Journalists that are covering, I think, some people are getting it, and it's like it looks like a hand-drawn letter of like sort of dark nuns or entities with like a doll girl in the middle, and there's like no letter, you don't know what it's about, and like the addresses have been handwritten kind of.
Oh, interesting. Well, I can't wait to hear how that develops. Other trailers, and actually speaking of one, I think we're gonna watch it right now. We got a little teaser for the Penguin series. It's gonna come out later this year. They give us that teaser, they've still not said the release date.
We shouldn't call it a teaser, we should call it a monologue.
Oh, fair. Which that's certainly like a standard format in trailers, right? Like an uninterrupted with spliced over different footage, but like one character just speaking. I'm trying to think of a good example of that.
Usually VO.
Yes.
What do we call it? A teaser-log.
It was like, it was 13 days when they attacked.
Yes.
Like, you know, exactly.
Yes, that kind of thing. Teaser-log.
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 Patent pending.
Teaser-log sounds like you need to go to the bar.
That's what I was going to say. Teaser-log is what happens when I'm about halfway through a burrito.
No, that's a prairie dog. Oh,
your cousin.
Very good.
Your cousin.
I'm here. I missed y'all.
So happy about that.
Great transition. Speaking of shit. No. This is not shit. I'm actually very excited for this series.
Come get you.
And I think this is actually a really good teaser. Let's watch the teaser. First things first, and this is like a topic that would come up a lot around those CW shows like Gotham or whatever. Are we going to see Batman in the show? Is Robert Pattinson going to show up at all?
No.
You have me at HBO crime series.
Mm.
In. right? Like, oh, and then it happens to be set in the DC universe. Oh, that's a fun wrinkle. But like HBO tends to do like miniseries and whatever so well. I'm interested in this looks. It'll be hitting the gritty, dim, moist energy of that last Batman movie. I think it looks great. It will be interesting. You know, certainly that trailer, not only no Batman, but, you know, no hint at other canonical villains other than gangsters and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, this is Gotham's Sopranos.
Yes.
That's kind of how
I mean, his makeup is very reminiscent of Tony Soprano and the accent, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, the I can't remember the Matt Reeves Batman. They show multiple times the kind of like the boot braces or whatever.
Yeah.
Was he wearing anything like that in the film? I don't remember.
I have to imagine that he probably got that from the car accident he was in, right? Because he like that was like the one of the big last moments we see him in before like the kind of the shootout at the end.
And how appropriate if that's like another like Penguin thing, or not a waddle, but it does affect his movement a little bit.
Look at the little Easter eggs they dropping in there. Look at that. I love that.
We're not going to see a single penguin in this show, though. I'm quite devastated.
No Danny DeVito.
As long as Colin has some black goo come out of his face, that's all I want from his penguin.
I mean, we know he's chomping on cigars. Yeah. And depending on the way you chomp, you can get a little black goo leakage.
That's true.
But I think the show looks great. I think the closest we've gotten is it's going to be late 2024. I think we're anticipating a fall release there. I mean, we're getting House of the Dragon June, July, so maybe that'll roll right into an August, September, something like that. Penguin would be really cool. I'm excited. I mean, this doesn't give us much, but
I like my Batman quite camp. You know, like you've got characters like the Joker, the Riddler. It's quite noir. Noir. Uh-huh. It's noir-ish, which I like. I like that it's a detective thing, but I do like it when it's a little bit camp. And I feel like that is not what's happening in this series at all. I mean, we didn't really get it from the last Batman trilogy, and it's even further away from like the Schumacher Batman, which is, again, not a bad thing. But it's like, how is a penguin... Like, how did he get his name? Like, what's... You know, like little things like
that. Yeah, there is a kind of throwaway line, I think, in the Batman where they explain why they call him the Penguin. But it does, like, it is a very interesting case when you have, like, a show that, or now taking a series so seriously when it's like, you know, in Batman you have villains like the Penguin or, like, you know, Dr. Freeze, right? Like, things we've seen be very
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, he hasn't
I'll see myself
PhD
out.
Yet. I don't think
he didn't
ever.
Bring it back. But, you know, Poison Ivy, even Bane, even though it wasn't supposed to be camp, if you're going to talk like this, that's camp.
And certainly the Lucha Libre version of Bane or whatever, right, is extremely camp. Yeah, it is interesting, like, A, it'll be, you know, with a series where they might have 8 hours to fill, right? Like, how could that tone evolve and, like, explore in different directions? And we saw a shot, and I think Eric did a breakdown of this, where we see a character behind glass, like the same kind of glass that we saw at Arkham.
Yeah, with the Joker.
With the Joker and the Riddler kind of talking to each other. And this was not like an existing character. So, like, hopefully we go to Arkham a little bit. Maybe we see other, you know, is there a grounded, just looks like a human Killer Croc or something like that?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That we see.
There's a crocodile tear, and that's all you get.
That's it. He likes wearing, crocodile boots.
Question for the group before we move on, though. So, okay, so you guys don't think we'll see Batman in this. Eric, do you think we'll see Robert Pattinson's Batman in this?
They don't have it in the budget. No.
Yeah.
We might get a Zoe.
Zoe Kravitz.
Because she was, you know, quite in the ring of crime.
Yep.
Like, ring adjacent.
Right. So, like, I think, like... Do you think how much of the events of this series, though, do you think will affect the Batman 2? Especially because this is going to be, you know, this is not part of James Gunn's main universe. This is like the Elseworlds. Do you think that, like, first of all, do you think Warner Brothers even cares if there's like connectivity between this, or just like just make this thing because we've put the money in it? It's cool. Like, do you think they're prioritizing any interconnectivity here?
Well, it'll also be interesting. This was greenlit immediately after the film, and they actually shot all of this last year. Yeah. It's actually been done for a while. And the next Batman movie has been delayed till 2026. So, like, there's a world in which this is just a fun romp. They give us a little 6-8 episode thing with no real concern for a second season or interconnectivity, and just, like, it's a little side story. I mean, we don't even know that the Penguin will be in the next Batman movie.
He could die.
He could die at the end of this. If they had the balls, they would kill him.
They might.
Yeah, they might. I mean, that'd be fun. And maybe Colin Farrell's also like, I can't wear this makeup.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
much more.
Do it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in other DC news, so we got some interesting updates about Joker Faliadu, another thing coming out this year. Lady Gaga is in it. It's going to be a musical.
The commenters want to know if you do that on purpose.
Do what?
Gaga.
Oh, it's an old
Lady Gaga.
Galifianakis.
Yeah. It's the most hack thing ever to mispronounce Lady Gaga. Wait, yeah, how about
it's four letters, it should be Lady Gaga.
But so they said no, it will be. It's going to be a jukebox musical, meaning that existing pop songs will be repurposed within the film that presumably the characters will then sing. Not just like music playing, but like the characters will be singing these songs.
So it'll be Joker Glee.
Exactly. What a nice way to put that. I was thinking of other jukebox musicals. I mean, this is a really old reference, but Moulin Rouge comes to mind.
Burlesque.
Burlesque. Yeah. What are some other? Glee. I mean, obviously that entire series was a jukebox musical. The Mamma Mia films.
Yes.
That's, of course, just ABBA songs, but like are a couple examples of those, which, you know, I think is fun. It would have been wild if they would have composed original compositions for this movie.
Well, that was the rumor, right? That there are at least a couple original.
Well, there's the door is open for an original song or two, which so we don't know. I mean, I initially was like, would Lady Gaga have a song in this? But Zach pointed out that she's not with Warner Brothers for the label.
Lady Gaga is under Interscope, is her record label, and that is owned by Universal. This film is, of course, being put out by Warner Brothers, who does all the DC stuff. Now, that said, often those contracts are fungible, and if Todd Phillips, the director of this movie, really wanted a song from another record label, I'm sure they'd just pay up and get it. But with that in mind, I did look up a list of some popular Warner Brothers musicians.
Oh, okay.
Did you? I'm just going to throw out some names. I would love to hear your thoughts on the odds that their songs get into this movie. Because we've been told 15 different songs are going to be in this movie. Maybe more, but a minimum of 15. Maybe some originals in there, too. Again, Lady Gaga is not one of those. But I did think, like, what would be the most... And it would also be very strange if a Lady Gaga song... Coming out of Lady Gaga's mouth is in this movie.
She's going to break the fourth wall doing that, and I actually don't hate that. Yeah. But it's also quite self-indulgent, so...
Yes, which she's not above.
Yeah, give the people what we want. We want Lady Gaga singing her own things in Harley Quinn makeup.
What would be the most appropriate song of hers? Bad Romance?
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Monster? Mm-hmm. Born This Way?
Alejandro?
It's completely unrelated, just like a random. I love that. Okay, so here's some Warner Brothers musicians or musical artists, and you tell me what you think the odds are.
I've already got like a gut. Is Fall Out Boy on that?
Ooh, I did not see that in the list I looked up.
Yeah, they're just on a different label, but
there's some instinctual thing that's just saying that there's going to be some Fall Out Boy.
Interesting.
One of the modern Fall Out Boy songs too, like one of the ones that they just
not
like,
a hit.
Not like Sugar, We're Going Down. Not Thanks for the Memories. No dancing.
Because the only reason you do something like this is the songs have to be recognizable, right? Yeah. They need to be hits. Otherwise, why not just make a new song if it's like some obscure track? So like these are presumably artists that have some hits. I mean, the one my eye immediately went to, Phil Collins.
Oh,
come on. I mean, just I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the drum break. Ma, don't give Phil Collins that face.
Phil Collins is a musical genius.
Susu, yeah, you know? Come on.
But would they like slow it down and dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. They do that for trailers all the time. Yeah, repurpose the songs.
Well, how about something that's more up your alley, Ma? Fellow Aussie, Kylie Minogue. You hope not, because you don't like Kylie Minogue. You don't want
Kylie's
her to be tarnished by being in a jukebox.
Because I think Lady Gaga would be an amazing Kylie Minogue impersonator, but it doesn't fit.
Can you though? Can't get you out of my head.
Oh,
isn't that such
distorted.
A great thing for one of them to be singing to the other?
Yeah, that would work. Goddamn.
You know. Oh, well, another one that popped out. Prince.
Oh.
And not only does he have a million songs and a bunch of hits, he did Bad Dance.
That's true. That he did.
Yeah, I mean, would that be nuts?
A repurposed bad dance?
Spidey Sensei asking the same question. Do you think she would do her own album like Prince did? He did something for Batman 89. Like, do you think she would do her own run of stuff too?
Now, if it's her doing all these covers, she's not above... She did a whole album of covers of like standards with Tony Bennett, I think, you know? So it's like... I mean, just hearing her do some of these songs, but I thought other Prince songs, I mean, Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah.
Topical. Mm-hmm. I Would Die For You. Oh, it's a slow jam. It's also kind of that kind of crazed love kind of thing.
Purple Rain, you know. Purple Rain. Joker wears purple suits, you know. And maybe that's a coming innuendo. Who knows? Who knows?
How?
Purple Rain.
That's what that means?
Good.
I think if that is your coming, innuendo, something is wrong and you should see a doctor immediately.
Hey, can I see Harley Quinn? She's a therapist.
Oh, touche. Okay, a couple others. And some of these, I don't know music super well. So, you know, these people might have perfect songs for this. Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
Ed Sheeran.
Is that impulsive?
No, that's what he starts every song
with. No, I realize that. Every time you hear his name, do you have to sing it?
It's like I've been conditioned.
Yeah. Well, that's effective marketing.
Just like DJ Khaled. We the best music.
Coldplay. My Chemical Romance. There could be some good.
Oh, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah. Especially they like makeup. You know, I feel like they're appropriate. The Eagles, of course, have a bunch of. I was thinking of Witchy Woman is an Eagles song. Now that's not totally on brand for Harley Quinn, but
Joker in this movie had daddy issues.
Yes.
Yeah. Then the Black Parade.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Good one. Yeah, he thinks Arthur Wayne is his dad, right?
There you go.
Or he did at one point.
Yeah.
Arthur or Thomas? Did they change the dad's name?
No, I think you're right. I'm wrong.
Thomas.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Aretha Franklin.
Oh.
Which like I feel like that, you know, like an old song repurposed with a completely different tone is a fun trick these movies like to use. I was thinking of like Chain of Fools or even like Natural Woman. You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Respect.
Like, yeah, sung by like a crazed character about her lover or something like that. Yeah. Anyways, throw in the chat.
One I would love to see is you two with them because the U2 song that they did for the 1995 release.
Oh, yeah.
You know how YouTube brought out that song?
Mm-hmm. Was that Batman and Robin or one of those?
Batman and Robin? Was it like, it's like four different.
It had a great animated music video that I enjoyed.
But it was quite dark, and I thought that would actually be really cool.
Hold Me.
Hold Me.
Yes. Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me from Batman Forever.
That one.
There it is.
I want that one with Harley and Joker for this movie. Repurpose that song.
Yeah, throw in your chat. I was looking up just like random songs that have crazy in the title, not to be stereotypical, but like, you know, this series deals with a lot of mental illness and sanitariums and all this kind of stuff. So like the Patsy Cline crazy, you know, is kind of pretty iconic, the country version.
I can see Gaga singing that.
Yes.
Sure.
The Heart song Crazy on You is a fun one. And also just any, I mean, most songs are about love or like Crazy in Love, Beyonce is a very apropos one. Throw in the chat what you think could be.
I feel like that song needs to be just left sacred as it is. That is a perfect song.
Yeah.
You know?
The 50 Shades of Grey version is top notch and it'll never be superseded.
They did not.
Oh yeah. There was like a slowed down version for that song.
Yeah, it was in one of the trailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty big, prominent in that. Shout out to all of our Madam Webs. Dakota Johnson.
I still haven't seen it.
Same.
I just saw it this weekend. I have thoughts for another episode. real quick, we want to shout out some of the folks who helped us bring this episode to you. One of today's sponsors, and this is a favorite of Evan's. We're going to talk to him a second about this. Miracle Made Sheets. Your temperature has a huge impact on how well you sleep, and Miracle Made Sheets use silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA. They make a temperature-regulating bedding that lets you sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These fabrics also prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. Wow, bacteria can clog your pores, causing breakouts and acne, and nobody wants to sleep in that kind of stuff. We don't want bacteria in our beds. We want other stuff in our beds, huh, Evan? With Miracle Made Sheets, your sheets stay fresh and clean three times longer than other sheets. They're also very luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other brands. It's like sleeping at a five-star hotel at home. Evan, you've been using the Miracle Made Sheets. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, when they say it's like sleeping at a in a hotel. It really does feel like that. Like, they are really, really comfortable. I put the sheets on, and I was like, okay. And then I got it, and I was like, okay. And
how often do you wash your sheets, Evan?
About every, like, 2-3 weeks, maybe. Is that too long?
That's a good amount. How often are you washing your sheets,
Women Mark? Love asking us this question.
I know. I'm going to get destroyed. I got to cut this.
Weekly
I gotta cut
without
it.
Fail. Weekly without fail.
Well, I've learned something new. Eric and I gotta go.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm failing like, then.
When was the last time Bernie Sanders ran for president?
Eric, that's too far.
Use the card, Eric.
Yeah. Sounds like Miracle Made Sheets is gonna be perfect for us who don't wash our sheets every week.
Yep.
It may be for you. Go to trymiracle.com/breakroom. Code's on the screen. Use code BREAKROOM to try Miracle Made Sheets today. Whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save 40%.
Do it, please.
Mod, wait till you hear how long I wait to wash my bath towel. If you use our promo code BREAKROOM and check out, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. They're so confident in their product. It's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/breakroom and use code BREAKROOM to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%. Again, trymiracle.com/breakroom to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made. And then we want to shout out, we've worked with this company before leading up to the Oscars, Kalshi. It's a it's the first legal financial exchange in the U.S. where you can bet on any event. And specifically, we like to focus on the entertainment ones. Me and Evan are always talking about what they're listing. Right now, they've got a bunch of interesting Rotten Tomatoes future scores. Ooh. So they list a movie that's going to come out, and they pick a Rotten Tomatoes score. And you basically, if you think it will be higher than that or lower than that. I, too, caught my eye. The Godzilla movie that's going to come out this week. Currently, there hasn't been a Rotten Tomatoes score that's been released for it yet. The over-under is 60. If you think it will be above 60 or below 60. Oh. I looked at the last one, 67.
It's close.
I feel like it could be around that again.
Yes. So I went over 60. This was despite okay. Evan's best judgment. Okay. Now, I famously have gotten wrong almost every single call sheet I've chosen, okay? So maybe that is good advice for you out there. You should pick against whatever I say. But I was like, I bet this will be close to whatever the last one is, right?
Similar
setup. Even this gives it even a little leeway down. Mm-hmm. And then another one that caught my eye, The First Omen. Mm-hmm. I think the number for that was 40. I went under.
Because
I have not liked the look of those trailers.
Okay.
And I don't think they're
moving. It's a weird trailer. Good.
And the most recent Exorcist Believer.
Oh yeah.
Got like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was supposed to be really not great.
So like I just don't know, like these kind of like franchise horror, you know, retro remake kind of stuff. Like, I don't think it's gonna hit. So anyways, those are two of my picks, but they have a lot of stuff. You can already guess on what the Deadpool and Wolverine Rotten Tomatoes will be. The Borderlands
105%.
Heyo. Or Furiosa was another interesting one. The over-under set at 90.
Wow.
Which Mad Max Fury Road, I think Fury Road was 93, 94.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty high. And like for reference, I think Dune 2 is at like 97 right now. Mm-hmm. There have been some like recent really high ones. X-Men 97.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
Killing it. And you pick, like, if I, you know, I went under on First Omen at 40. And I think, like, I paid, like, 50 cents. And if it comes in and I'm right, I get a dollar, basically, is how you go. But also, if that rate goes up or down over time, I can sell early, you know, and make a little profit. Or in my case, just lose a little less. Because I will almost certainly be wrong about everything. bad track record. So you can sign up by going to kalshi.com/breakroom, and the first 500 traders will get a free $20 credit. That's what Evan and I did. Evan has like quadrupled his. So click the link in the video's description. Try it out. It's just a silly fun thing. Now we want to pivot to my favorite segment every week, the Mod Monday Minute.
It's me. It's my time. Let's go. Okay, so actually with this one, there's actually some fun and interesting news stories. Once I finish the story, I will look at you and I want to hear out of 10 how excited you are about it.
Oh, right. Love
I've
it.
Got to get through as many stories in 60 seconds as possible, so I don't need to hear an opinion.
Just a number.
Just a hard number.
Just a number. Mm-hmm. Okay, can I get that time on the clock started? There it is. All of your Blue Milk dreams are coming true on April 17 with True Moo releasing Blue Milk inspired by the one and only Disney's Galaxy's Edge. You can do Blue Milk. How do we feel?
10 out of 10. One drink it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I heard an opinion.
1.1.
You're out. That's not the fat percentage. However, you should throw away your dreams of being cast in Superman Legacy. James Gunn has confirmed by Threads that all the roles in Atlanta and all speaking roles have been filled. Mm. No score. Director Wes Ball has shared his thoughts about making his live-action Legend of Zelda movie, saying it's got to feel like something real, something serious and cool, but fun and whimsical. How do we feel?
Ooh.
Tense! A Dragon Ball theme park will be opening in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. DBZ theme park.
9. 7.
10. Agent Carter has been added to the MCU timeline on Disney Plus. It looks like we've got another show to catch up on. Did you like Agent Carter?
Yes. 9.
Haven't seen it, but 10.
Ooh!
Haley Wells can do no wrong.
Haley Atwell. Yes,
agreed.
Quite amazing as Captain
Carter. Also, did she get through all the headlines?
Yeah.
All the headlines? But nice work, Mod, as always. Also, is that fueling speculation that...
Legend of Zelda movie? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Are you excited for that?
I'm so excited. I'm so glad it's going to be live action. It could either be the best thing we've ever seen or it could be an absolute disaster. I hope it is going to be amazing. I believe it's in safe hands. But I love the fact that we're bringing video games back to life. We had a hard trot in the 90s for bringing video games to life. Even though I will always love Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
What does Link say in the animated show?
Link?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, good for you, princess.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something
we'll find it.
Who's your ideal Link casting?
I think did I see that Tom Holland wanted to play Link? He's a bit of a Link twink, isn't he?
Oh, it was, excuse me, princess.
Excuse me, princess. Okay. That's it. Excuse me, princess. But that Link had brown hair, and our true Link is blonde.
I mean, Tom Holland's a great actor, and, he hasn't done anything fantasy.
He did Uncharted.
Yeah, but that's kind of modern real world, kind of, right? Nothing with goblins and swords and that kind of thing.
Okay, I want in the comments, the Zelda movie, we like to describe films where it's X meets Y, it's A meets B. What are the two things that this movie is going to be? Is it going to be like a Lord of the Rings meets Goonies? Is it going to be like, what do we think this movie could be?
Two recent films that just come to mind, tonally maybe. Obviously, the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
I loved that movie.
They steered hard into the comedy, right? Or the Super Mario movie came out last year. It was a gigantic hit. Obviously, very different franchise, but in animated, yes.
Yeah,
made $1 billion, number one movie last year, more than Barbie or Oppenheimer. Wow. Okay, in Star Wars news, the Skywalker saga. Saga?
Saga.
Saga?
Saga.
Lady Gaga goes to the Skywalker saga. Is getting a theatrical re-release. They're putting all 9 films in chronological order out in theaters on May 4th. May the 4th be with you.
I have
you.
A question for everyone as well. What was the first Star Wars movie you saw in cinema? On the big screen, what was the first movie?
I think I saw Empire Strikes Back when they did the re-release ahead of the prequels.
I did it for Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And I dragged a bunch of friends and they'd never even seen a Star Wars and I convinced them all to watch the third in the trilogy. And they're like, what's happening? I'm like, shh. It's just good, okay?
I think mine was Force Awakens, probably.
Oh, yeah.
That was mine, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You youngs weren't around
for young buck.
To wait in line for Phantom Menace.
I was in Ghana for that. I don't know.
What's a theater scene like in Ghana?
Now, great.
Yeah.
Back in 2000 or 99?
Not so good.
Not the best. It's all satellite and telecom.
Yeah. Are films like American movies shown in English?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, because Ghana was colonized by the British. Okay. Thanks, Queen.
Hey, so was Australia.
Hey, so was America.
Hey,
not as recent. Okay, Phantom Menace will be in theaters that whole weekend to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Already been 25 years. They're also going to show some Acolyte footage at the Phantom Menace screenings.
That's cool.
Series coming out.
They need to incentivize people more. Remember how it used to be like, we'll play the trailer before the movie, and you'd be like, and then the movie came out?
Famously, speaking of Star Wars, they played the trailer for The Phantom Menace, debuted ahead of Meet Joe Black movie.
What?
And like, it contributed like $100 million to Meet Joe Black, because everybody bought tickets just to see the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, but then after Meet Joe Black, everyone bought peanut butter to eat it with a spoon. Did you guys not see Meet Joe Black?
Synergy.
You know what?
That joke fell so flat. I can tell you guys are not thirsty women that love to see Brad Pitt eating peanut butter with a spoon. I guess that's just me.
I've seen the meme of him getting hit by a bus.
I've seen that so many times.
That's Evan's favorite meme. So, you know, a 9-movie marathon, especially when a couple of those movies are longy, yeah, it's pretty intense. But if you were to, like, pop in at any point... Is there a particular Star Wars film you would like to see again?
Rogue One.
Not one of the ones they're going to be showing.
Wait, really?
They're just doing the Skywalker.
Oh, damn it.
But I agree. I would love to see that on the big screen again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing a 6-meter-long Nexu. What's the next? It's the wide-mouthed cat on Geonosian when it's clawing up and it gets Amidala's side and all of a sudden she's got a midriff. Was that my sexual awakening?
Right there. There's a lot of people, either Hayden Christensen or Natalie Portman. There's a lot of people that had some thoughts.
Had a Hayden Christensen as Anakin on my roof, so every morning when I woke up, it would be the first thing that I saw. And then I interviewed Hayden Christensen. I still was like, hello, nice. I was so nervous. Nice to talk to you. And he's like, hello. Like, I had the biggest crush on you.
That's great. Once walked by Natalie Portman on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So basically, we've had equivalent experiences. and then, you know, that got us thinking, they're also going to re-release all of the live-action Spider-Man films in theaters over the next few months.
So can we, an Alamo Draft House, which if you're not in anywhere that has an Alamo theater, they do particular screenings where they serve booze, you can have dinner, and some screenings are like rowdy encouraged.
Party,
I want a rowdy Spider-Man OG trilogy.
Yes, like, the Raimi?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, so that got us talking, you know, like what other films, or these included, would you love to see in a big screen? And I think like what's important is these are all limited releases, because like you don't really, I don't want to go see Spider-Man 2 with 4 other people in the theater. I might as well just watch it at home or whatever, right? Like you want a packed theater of energized fans.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of the, like again, for the youngs among us, right? Like probably didn't see the Raimi films in a theater.
The last one for sure.
Okay.
That was my one of my last days of high school was when that came out.
Yeah. Certainly, same. It was definitely last days of high school, and that was after you went back after college, right? But like, you know, maybe it's either a film you didn't get a chance to watch on a big screen because, you know, you're too young or you just missed it, or you weren't into that fandom at the time, or it's just, it's been 20 years or it's been a while. I mean, we were talking about, if it was gonna be a packed theater of jacked up fans, I'd go see Endgame tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
I'd love to watch that again in the theater, you know?
If they did a double feature of Infinity War and Endgame, that's solid, that's 6 hours.
They would make, like, I reckon 50% of their total budget when it first came out again doing that, which makes sense.
Just make a day, it's like 4 to 7, you get Infinity War, get a dinner break, and come back for like 8 to 11 or something.
Get a re-release, like release an Infinity Gauntlet popcorn bucket, because that's like all the shit right now. Could I just say, a strategy, because it's like, you know, should big studios be re-releasing movies that are already out? Long story short, repurposing is such a good marketing strategy now. Just because you made something once doesn't mean it's done and dusted. If it had popularity, hell, I keep posting photo shoots that I did 7 years ago.
There you go.
And they're getting liked. So it's like, you do repurpose, you keep putting it out there. Yes. If it's still good, the fans still exist. I think that some of the best things that LA does is they converted the Hollywood Cemetery, and they'll do like again sort of rowdy movies. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That sort of stuff.
I saw Dawn of the Dead there not too long ago. Oh, it was a great experience. Yeah, and there are, like, I think especially in our age where it's like, you know, we spend a lot of time on TikTok or just at home watching streaming stuff. A collective experience, especially not even with a new film that you might really enjoy, but like something that you already have a very specific relationship with.
That
a movie
nostalgia
you've
factor,
watched
yeah.
10 times, but maybe haven't in a long time watched with other people. Is so cool. And especially like you mentioning Alamo Drafthouse, and you know, rep theaters have been doing this to a smaller degree across the country for a long time. We love the Brain Dead Studios here in LA. Wherever you live, there's probably some fun theaters that might show, you know, a foreign film, an indie film, and then like Jaws or Terminator 2 or whatever.
Showgirls.
Right? Showgirls, yep. Right? Yeah,
Very formative.
Like, you know, Alamo Drafthouse famously had all those screenings of Cats for a long time.
I did it, and I'd never seen Cats before, and I realized quite quickly how bad this movie was. I drink responsibly. I drink a whole bottle of red wine, and I cannot remember the end of the film, because that was my intention.
Wow.
If I could have poured it in my eyes to stop me from seeing it, I would have done so, but that was the next
And that's another thing. Maybe you were a child when The Phantom Menace or Spider-Man 1 came out, but now you're of legal drinking age.
There you
go. It can be a very different experience for you.
Even better, what if it was a movie that shaped your teen or formative years, and now you're old and you've got kids, and you bring your kids to see it on the big screen, just like how you did the first time. Back in my day, we went to a cinema.
Yeah.
You know, you actually share that.
And like, cool story, Mom.
Yeah.
Besides just like the financial gain of it, right? It's not done and dusted. Like we were talking earlier, Zach, like about other like studios outside of like Disney, or rather like other IP that's not like coming immediately to the forefront. So like the Alien movies with Alien Romulus coming out, or like Gladiator in front of Gladiator 2, or even Twist, the original Twister, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you guys feel like that would be like a helpful addition to the theater?
OG Beetlejuice ahead of the sequel to that, right?
I actually think that's, I mean, one could say that it's a capitalistic cop-out because it is just purely for revenue. But at the same time, you both told me that you wanted to watch Dune before you saw Dune 2 again. Mm. And I think a refresher is really cool, but a refresher on the big screen, that's a fun way to do it. I'm about it. Especially like Gladiator. That was such a great movie, didn't it? One
best picture.
Yep.
That's right.
One best picture.
In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
Yeah. That's another automatic. Jason Derulo and year 2000 and Coda, are his triggers. If we can figure out two more phrases, he will Winter Soldier on us. I think, and you know, like, it is absolutely inessential. All of these things, you can consume them 1,000 different ways at home, but it is about having that experience, right? And I think like they should do it more often. This is, of course, a pretty thin year for theatrical releases. Mm-hmm. The strikes have delayed a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff got moved to next year. So there's just not a ton coming out in theaters. And so to fill some of those gaps, some of those dead periods, like, yeah, throw some, they did that at the end of the pandemic. Right around Top Gun Maverick, weren't they like, they re-released Titanic and like all the other movies in theaters?
I actually hadn't seen Titanic in full, and I was like, I'm going to see that movie. And then I didn't.
Oh, wow. What a school day, bro. Also, I saw the door.
Everyone died, by the way.
Spoiler alert.
The door that Kate Winslet is on that saves her life at the end of Titanic just sold for $700,000 at auction, beating Indiana Jones's whip, which was previously one of the highest.
Did someone buy it just to prove and do experiments that you can successfully?
She could have got him on there too.
Oh yeah,
probably. But it's also a strange prop because it's not like I would see that and be like, oh, that's the Titanic door. It's just like a random door.
I mean, how many times have you seen Titanic though?
That's true. Not in a while. Yeah.
So before we get into the question that I have written up, I want to ask this question here from Elijah Dante. Could re-releases supplement profits and let more experimenting with films if they can spread profits year-round and they don't all have to be big-budget blockbusters?
I love that. If they can actually start funding mid-budget films again. I can't remember which director it was, but it was like...
American Fiction. Yeah, that guy.
It was all indies which aren't supported at all, or it's big, big blockbusters, and like the age of the mid-budget had sort of just died a little bit. But if, for some reason, like it just over the time wasn't worth investing in, I think mid-budget should come back at a big boom. Yes. And if that's the way that it can fund it, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I am so sick of studios and being told that no one's got budgets anymore.
Yeah.
It's wild when you look at like the box office lists from like the 80s and even into the early 90s, when there would be like a Back to the Future or you know, a Star Wars in there, but then it'd be like Presumed Innocent was the number 9 movie for the year or something like that. You know, it was a lot of just like adult dramas and like little coming of age movies and thrillers comedies and stuff like that. And just all of those are just not being made now.
Well, I think the studios took the wrong lesson from the success of Infinity War and Endgame, because Endgame did $1.5 billion or something like dollars. And like, they were like, oh, if we just throw all the money at a movie, it'll make all that money back. And it's like, no, like there were 20 movies that led up to that conclusion. That's why people were so tuned in. So you know, make a bunch of things to lead up to stuff.
And I think like the streaming era and like post-pandemic, it shifted a lot of our habits. I think people are going to the movies a little less often. And so they need something that is like, gets people to go to the theater. This is, I can't wait 2 months and stream this. I need to go to the theater. But, and that certainly applies to big budget, spectacle, Marvel and Star Wars, but it can apply to a lot of other stuff too, right?
You're right. Like mid-budget, I guess, does exist, but it's straight to Netflix. And then everyone watches it in a 48-hour window, and then no one speaks about it again. What was that Charlize Theron movie?
Old Guard?
Old Guard, yeah.
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 And that would have been mid-budget for sure. Yeah. And that was, like, great, but we all watched it and never spoke about it again. Yeah. Like, that should be, those should be, like, your theatrical releases, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unlike, that's an interesting reference. I think, was that Gina Prince-Bythewood directed Old Guard? Who then did Woman King, which came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, 22, I think.
But that got a theatrical release, and I feel like it had a much bigger part of the conversation than the Old Guard, right? Well, like, so it's an interesting
If they're shopping it for awards, it has to have a minimum of like a 2 week theatrical release at the minimum amount of cinemas. So even if it is straight to a streamer, if they want to push it for an award season, it needs a limited release.
And Netflix has a hack for that. They bought a couple theaters in LA and they just play them there to nobody.
Is that Roma?
I want to ask you guys, what movie is, it could be like a movie that we talk about here or otherwise, that would you want to see in theaters again? If you need to take a second to start, I will say.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
Oh!
the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trilogy from the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Give me all three.
My answer, it's topical, but a movie I've seen probably 40 times on home video and didn't get a chance because it came out in 1987. David Lynch's Dune, baby. Let's go. Much hated, but much loved by
me. They were just showing it videos right after Dune came out. I should have sent it to you. I'm sorry.
I should have gone.
I want to see The Fall by Tarsem Singh, starring Lee Pace. It's
an
incredible movie. The story about it is wild. I cannot wait to see that on the big screen one day. It's very good. It's kind of like a dark Princess Bride. It's like a story within a story type deal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's it called?
The Fall.
The Fall. I think he probably filmed it concurrently with Pushing Daisies, if I had to guess. Okay. I'll find out.
Yeah, so like 08, something like that, 07, 08. Okay. Yep.
I will watch that this week. Mm.
And you can find it.
Yeah, we had to get a DVD for it. It's kind of hard to find.
Jelly Bean Planet. I have jelly beans in my pocket. All of them are good. Get yours, NW Rockstar. We got a new code, use it, and you can be as cool as me.
15 NW Rockstar to get 15% off your 42.5 ounce.
I'm going
to
tell you the flavors that I've got in here, and you tell me if I'm right. Grape, tangerine.
How would we know if we're vanilla? Is right?
Your faith. Do you not have faith in Maud? Believe in Maud.
Does that go in the sizzle reel, Zach? I don't know.
Hey, Easter. Easter's this Sunday.
It is.
But if you order today or whenever you're watching this, you can get these in time for Easter. Fill your Easter baskets.
There's my whole pocket full, and now I have them all out.
Also, you don't have to hold them in your pocket. They sell them in jars, okay? It's not, they won't come loose
just
to your
home.
Bag,
the just a little bag, the disposable dispenser thing?
It's not like a guy just comes to your door.
I love a good pocket full. Little sneaky
like,
snacks.
Show me your pockets. Fills them from a tub.
I imagine the Easter Bunny has a pouch in the front and it just reaches into there.
Yeah,
That's a kangaroo.
That's just a big rabbit.
Mark, you're from Australia. What's the inside of a kangaroo's pouch like? Is it smooth? Is it moist?
Is it goopy?
Is it warm?
I imagine it's very warm.
Oh, well, as the numerous times I put my hand, like, what do you think we do down there?
They're like cats down there, right? Everybody has one, right?
Yeah.
No, they're gonna punch
you. Or like
you.
A neighborhood kangaroo. You guys just like, oh yeah, that's a Ronnie over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, can we just get back to the news story?
Phantom 101529 says, those jelly beans are so delicious that's what I do every time I watch Break Room. I eat the jelly beans. They're actually very tasty. I'm surprised how good they are. I mean, you shouldn't be because they're great.
We've been telling you they're good. Yeah. You think we're liars?
Look how empty this jar's becoming. I think that's all us.
There's no optical illusion. We are eating these guys down.
Me and Brian finishing the Break Room edits, you know we're eating those jelly beans. All right, so popular rumor scooper, can we get some toast? Share that Seth Rogen will be writing and producing an R-rated Venom project for Sony. Zach, you asked everyone to hold their thoughts?
Yeah, thoughts on an animated Venom film from Seth Rogen.
So Seth and Sony have had a partnership for a long time now. I believe it's at least the 10-year mark. And Sony kind of lets him fly. He has a wide berth of what he can bring to the table. So I think if he is given permission, we can get some batshit fun. think it's good stuff. I mean, he just did
the animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mayhem last year. Pretty beloved.
Did great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just watched it recently. Yeah. And he did Sausage Party, which was the fun, silly, disgusting romp, but very enjoyable. So yeah, he could do really good things with Venom.
And of course produces The Boys and Gen V for Prime, has a pretty good track record as a creative producer for genre properties in general, in addition to all his films. I mean, it's funny you mentioned he has a great track record with Sony. It was his movie about
the interview.
Yeah, the interview that got Sony hacked by North Korean hackers that leaked all the stuff about all the different drama across all their movies. It's so funny, but it didn't stop their relationship with him. I think it's a great idea, and people pointed out, you know, Sony's track record with this with their Marvel properties is not spotless.
Nope.
Though the animation stuff
really good, top notch.
So maybe it's nice to steer into that, but a very different creative team and creative direction than the Spider-Verse films. Probably going to steer very much into the comedy angle with a character like Venom that can be pretty outrageous. I think that's going to be fun. Yeah.
Now, this won't replace a live-action Venom 3, will it?
I don't think so.
We're getting that this year.
Yeah,
no
still
what.
On track to
it's probably. I wonder if this hints at that franchise kind of wrapping up in its current incarnation. Because, I mean, I guess we have concurrent animated Spider-Man and live-action Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So, like, Tom Hardy could keep doing live-action and this become a new franchise. Mm-hmm. But maybe they're like, oh, we'll take some time off of the live-action and do animated for a while, maybe.
Nice.
Yeah. Cosmic Circus saying, Haley Atwell, Captain Carter is in play for Avengers Secret Wars. What do you guys think? Do you think we see a live-action Haley Atwell in Secret Wars as Captain Carter?
Yes, I want to see live-action Haley Atwell anywhere, but especially in especially in the Captain Carter suit. Get that shield up, toss it around. Want to see it.
Yeah.
It'll be weird. We already saw her die once as that character.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, we'll see the what-if incarnation of her, right? We'll see her step out from animated and become live action.
That's sick.
That'd be dope.
That's cool.
Zach shaking his head.
No.
You don't like
get
it?
Out
you
of
don't
here. Like it? It's wild. What is this, the Simpsons movie or something like that?
Yeah.
Respectfully, Zach, you're so wrong. You are so wrong with not liking that.
Fair.
It's perfect. It's perfection. Fair. I'm on, Team Eric, we know what we're on about.
Mon knows what's up.
Haley at all is well. With Haley. I didn't mean to ruin the vibe.
No, I like that.
Zach trying to land a joke.
Ending on a sincere and solemn note.
I did.
Well wishes to Haley Atwell's family in this time of mourning.
What was my joke?
No. It just felt like it was like a rest in peace. Or something. Tone.
I should have been more like, ooh. Is that better?
No, she is great. She was my favorite part of the most recent Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah,
she was great.
Really fun.
And like I'm not hating on it. I think again. That's a fun character. Put her in anything. Why not? I just think it'll be strange. I bet like Marvel is thinking right now, if we're building to a Secret Wars movie, if that movie is populated by a bunch of characters most people do not know, that might be tough.
I agree.
So like maybe if we see her in something leading up to that, in something else, right? Not just
animated?
I think
so. I mean, I think she's kind of had the ideal arc for that character, though, right? A character that could be, like, animated, and then we see the tease, right, in live-action Multiverse Madness, but then it's like, oh, but we all know there's variants or whatever, you know? I think it'd be really interesting, but it is a tough sell.
Doctor Strange is
Captain Carter. Yeah, the post-credit. Yeah. Or not post-credit, the 818 or whatever. Yeah, and we are getting a real Fantastic Four. We'll probably get a live-action Professor X, right? All the other characters that showed up in that scene were kind of... Yeah. Even the Monica Rambeau...
Captain Marvel.
Showing up in the Marvels post-credit, right?
Like, oh, yes, it's...
It's binary.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, there are, the threads from that scene could continue to influence the live action for sure. Yep.
The threads, just like how Wanda threaded everybody in that battle scene.
Turned them into spaghetti. Little noodles of content. I think that's enough for today. What do you say, Evan?
Yeah, I think so.
After he accused us of running long, we then did another 12 minutes. Thank you, Evan.
Consummate professionals up here. We going.
That's right. The people want content. Yeah. We're just satisfying that need, okay? I held a pen this episode. Not sure this is my new gimmick.
Ooh.
Guy who holds pen.
You are Jon Stewart.
Leave a comment if it's Zach's new gimmick, if you made it this far.
I had one hand in my pocket, and the other was on a jelly bean.
Modest set over here. Jagged little beam. Know what I'm talking about?
I don't think he's old enough to get the reference.
No, he's young.
Oh, yeah, Jagged Little Pill, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. He gets it.
Yeah, it's just the baby face. I'm actually 62 years old.
Wow. You look great.
Thank you. I have more shirts.
Yes. thank you so much for watching, everybody. Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel on YouTube. Catch us on Twitch whenever you can. And keep an eye out. The next upload, probably, on The Break Room is going to be our X-Men 97 Episode 3 after show.
Upload
Wednesday morning. Gonna figure out who just had that baby?
And who was that at the door?
All will be revealed, hopefully. Thank you so much for watching. Follow Eric and Maud on their social platforms to know about all the cool stuff they're doing.
In Saskatchewan.
Yes, in surrounding areas.
Saskatchewan.
And most importantly, have a great day, everybody.
Bye, Internet.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube.